you are comfortable in terms of who are the attendees at this meeting. My name is Cheney. I come from the province of Northern Cape.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. Leadership of the Sandra and the Department of Transport. My name is Mandla Khai. Member of this committee and represent the province of the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Morning, everyone. My name is Brenda Matebula. I'm representing the province of the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, everybody. Sonia Bosso and Mpumalanga.
Morning, Yakulon, Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Rebecca Mtuleni. I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning. I'm Enrico Bazir and I'm the committee assistant.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elizabeth. I'm the secretary to the chairperson.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Solutioning Governor. I'm media and communications for this committee.
Can you give over to the chair to introduce the acceptance and the team?
Morning, Honourable Chair, and morning, Honourable Members. My name is Temba Mhambi, Chairperson of the Board of SANRA, and indeed we are here with a number of colleagues. If you may indulge me, Chair, I'd like them to please just introduce themselves quickly. With your permission, please, sir. Thank you very much.
Morning, Chair. Morning, committee members. My name is Inga Mulder. I'm the Chief Financial Officer, and today I will be representing the CEO, who is not well. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. Morning, committee members. My name is Tabiso Malasha, Head of Strategy at SANRA.
Morning, Chair. Morning, committee. I'm Alice Matthews, Company Secretary, SANRA.
Morning, Chairperson and the honourable members of the committee. My name is Chris Sabisa. I'm the DDG responsible for roads in the Department of Transport. Apologies for the Minister as well as our DG. They are held up in the Cabinet Committee as we speak. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson and committee members. I'm Prasad Mon, the Chief Director of Roads, Department of Transport, and also the shareholder representative on the board of SANRA.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. I am Tamsang Afit Magosa, a board member of SANRA. Thank you.
Sanbonani Noke, KZN. Morning, Chair. My name is Rob Haswa. I chair the ARC committee of SANRA. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and members. I'm Denisan Maluleke, the Deputy CFO of SANRA.
Morning, Chair. My name is Tandwe Bonga. I'm a parliamentary liaison officer in the ministry.
Can you have the schedule and the bed called introduction of that?
Excuse me, my name is Kulem Okbane. I'm a reporter from Film 24. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. Morning, committee. My name is Brian Chera with the PMG.
Good morning, Linda Insop, who's there?
Thank you, colleagues, for that round of introduction. we have also received the apology from Honorable Professor Chin. Who's a member of the committee? As pointed out, there's also an apology from the minister. I don't think members will have any problem in accepting the minister's apology because of his presence in the last meeting and the fact that there is a cabinet committee meeting where those apologies less than to you with the minutes of the last meeting. I remember the meeting of the 13th of November 2019, where we were receiving a briefing from the IDT. Any discussion that our members on page 1 of the report? Let's move to page 2. Any amendment, any correction, any abstraction from the issue? Let's go to page 3. Page 3. Any correction? Page 4. Absence of any correction on the minutes, can we then get a move for the adoption of the minutes as presented to the inspection? Can we get a move for the adoption of the minutes?
Morning, Chair. I move for the adoption. Thank you.
Thank you, Oshoff. Can we get a second? Can we then get Honorable Dangu? Thank you, Honorable Dangu.
My apologies, Chair. There was another meeting that carried on.
I received the invitation, Honorable Dangu. The apologies indeed accepted. We will then move to the next item on the agenda, which is the briefing by Sandra in terms of the work that it has been doing on 2018-19 financial year. We take note of the legislative framework with which you are operating. And also your responsibility to also contribute to job creation, the challenges that that you've been presenting, and also the successes. What we will then do, maybe just before we get to that point, there is a report of the legislative committee that we agreed yesterday that it will be presented today. Can I just get a sense from honourable members? Did honourable members had an opportunity to go through the report that was said? Then within the context of that, I think let us then give over to the secretary just to give a reflection.
Thank you, Chairperson. My task is very simple. It's just to present this report, not to present, but to table to the committee, since it has already been circulated to the members, and it's now upon the members to adopt a report.
Can you just take the committee through the recommendations?
Thank you, Chairperson. This report is a report of the two select committees, which is this committee, the select committee on transport, public service and administration, because of infrastructure, and the Select Committee on Trade Industry, Economic Development, Small Business Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour, which the two committees on the 21st or the 25th of October visited Gauteng Province, where they interact, you know, with various scholars, like your Western District Municipality and Vitoshkuri, and some entities of the department, and also visited, you know, projects of, you know, these departments. So on the recommendation, I won't go through the report. On the recommendation, there are five recommendations that have been captured. The first recommendation is that the two committees, you know, not have the role of government entities such as PETA, FIFA, NEF, and I mean, of its, you know, a role in supporting the growth of SMEs. And further noted the imbalance of allocation of resources between regions and within regions, and also cumbersome process in administering applications to finance SMEs. The Joint Committee recommends that all government entities supporting the MEC to streamline application process to financing SMEs. And one-stop centers should be rolled out nationwide, and partnership with municipalities and private sector should establish to broaden the reach of services to SMEs. The recommendation could be implemented over the short to term, medium term, guided by the availability of resources. I don't know whether Chairperson, you want me to go through, because it's they are very long, this recommendation.
Could we then get a work on the adoption of the report, the code of recommendation?
Thank you, Chair. Before we move for the adoption of the recommendation, I'd like to check with you, because with the last visit in Timbis, what we call that place, Timbisa training program, which is supported by CETA, because when we left there, you promised that you're going to do a follow-up on the payments of those people who are working there. I just want to check whether you did a follow-up, whether those people have been paid, or if there is a progress that took place after we left.
Can we agree that we will then make a follow-up on that?
Can you then get a move for the adoption of the report? Honorable Kai moves. Can you then get a second? Honorable Daru seconds. Thank you, honorable members. We will then move to the next item on the agenda. Chairperson, the floor is yours. I think what is important from this oversight report is an illustration to the leadership of SANRAL that the next round of oversight will be visiting one of the projects, just to get a sense in terms of what you present to us at this level, that it holds water. Over to you, Chair.
That would be a pleasure indeed. Honourable Chair, honourable members, good morning. We must begin, please, by expressing our appreciation for the invitation. We often interact with the portfolio committee, as you would know, and indeed it is a pleasure to interact with members who are in, you know, in the specific provinces where we do work and the like. So we are very, very happy to be here. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. If I may please quickly, Honorable Chair, also mention that one of our board members, Ms. Avril Halstead, could not join us here today. She's actually next door in M515 on a Transnet matter, because she's also associated with that entity. And Ms. Lungile Madlala couldn't make it because of ill health, apparently on her part. So please, we'd like to
Having said that, Honourable Chair, our acting CEO here, Ms. Inga Mulder, will, with your permission, please take us through our presentation. But from where we are sitting as the board of SANRAL, we just want to say to the committee that we are generally satisfied with where we are and indeed where we are going in terms of our transformation policy as well as our policy document, strategy document, which is entitled Horizon 2030. The committee will see from the presentation we are going to make that indeed there is a lot to celebrate, including the fact that this is our 15th unqualified audit opinion. But we also recognize the fact that we can still do more. And our presentation will show some of the areas where we must still improve. But from where we're sitting as the board, we want to highlight just three or four very crucial matters. The first one being that SANRAL's financial situation is quite precarious if it is looked at with GFIP in mind, the so-called ETOL, the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project. If you factor that in, we find ourselves in quite a challenging position financially. But it is a matter that government has really been addressing very aggressively over the past few months, and we know that we are on the verge of an announcement from our government about that particular matter. If you put it aside, our financial position becomes quite stable. So we just thought we would highlight that. The second point we'd like to highlight is that we have tasked ourselves with addressing questions of corporate governance quite strongly. In the light of particularly the Zondo Commission, we are learning about some of the pitfalls that face state-owned enterprises, and we are constantly addressing ourselves to that. And so we want the community to know that we've got our eyes on the ball as far as that matter is concerned, and indeed we are striving for good governance, cleaning up questions of procurement, for example, questions of conflicts of interest, and indeed having greater transparency in the way we do things. Thirdly, we are very committed to transformation. If you check our history, you will find that we have really built the construction industry, the civil construction industry in particular, road construction, bridges, and so on. But many of the beneficiaries have really been the big companies, the established ones. And indeed, our trajectory now and our approach is to make sure that we help ensure that those companies do not collapse, because we don't want jobs lost. But concomitant with that, we are determined to bring in SMMEs and to make sure that they are developed so that instead of talking about the big five construction companies in the country, we should be able to talk about the big 20, the big 30, and so on. So that balance of maintaining what we have so that jobs can be kept in this country, but also empowering more and more and bringing in new players so that we can create even more jobs. That is the trajectory that we are taking. And we are using procurement in that direction, and we are using training and skills development to empower our smaller companies as well as individuals. The next point we want to raise, Honorable Chair, is that we celebrate
the unqualified audit opinions. We are talking about this being the 15th one. But what we have done as the board, we have said to our management, give us a time frame when we can now finally take a leap from unqualified audits to a clean audit. And our management has said to us, in 2 years, they should be there. And I should indicate, Honorable Chair, that the reason why it's been unqualified audit opinions has been because of procurement done previously over the past few years, and that the Auditor General identified as irregular expenditure because certain aspects have not been covered during those years. And so we've been paying out in relation to some of those projects over the years. And we're now at a point where we're cleaning that up, which therefore makes it possible for us to be catapulted into a clean audit environment. And finally, from where the board is sitting, a major concern relates to the disruption of our projects all over the country. Where, as we are talking, projects running into billions of rand are at a standstill because they would have been disrupted by various stakeholders. Now, here you have a combination, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, where in some cases people have got legitimate concerns, where a project is taking place in their area and none of them are involved. In terms of benefiting from skills development, skills transfer, some of the procurement, and so on. There are cases where you've got those legitimate concerns, and we are addressing them very aggressively through policy changes, through a 14-point plan, for example, which centers communities in projects around them, and so on. But some of these are due to downright thuggery, where people taking advantage of government's restriction of the 30%, which must be local procurement, in projects that are above 30 million rand, where people now take advantage of that, mobilize communities if they themselves have not been successful in getting anything from the project. And that is an area that we are working together with provincial governments, municipalities and other statutory bodies in the country. We are trying to also address that one very, very aggressively. Those are some of the very broad issues, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that we assist with at this board. And in terms of the specifics, please, Honorable Chair, at this point, may I hand over to our acting CEO, Ms. Inge Mulder, to take the Honorable Committee through. Thank you very much.
And over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm trying to just go through most of this or summaries of what is in our integrated report. So I'll go through them quite quickly, just making reference to pertinent items for your interest. Our integrated report is separated by two volumes. First volume contains the Chairperson's Report, CEO's Report, Company Overview and the Capital and Performance. And Volume 2 then is where the corporate governance issues and all the consolidated financial statements, including the audit report and so on, is contained. The Sanral Network, we've just given you a breakdown by province so that you can see where the kilometers that we are responsible for are situated, not where, but the number of kilometers. And then in the integrated report from page 28 to 55, we talk to the manufactured capital, where we specifically talk to what is the expenditures on roads and what was allocated to capital versus operational projects. Sanral's network of 22,000 kilometers is separated with the non-toll roads making up 87% of that 22,000. And the toll roads, the other 13%. The 13%, 7% of that is managed and funded by Sanral, and the other 6% is management fund of about 3 concessionaires. This is part of our performance indicators, so in terms of road condition, these are some of the indicators that we use. The first one there is the road roughness. There our indicator is that we are currently at 96%, the rut depth at 99%, and macro texture 99.1. Now these are all well within international norms for national roads. Sandal pavement condition overall, you see that from this you can see that there is only 0.1% of our roads in a very poor condition and 4% in a poor condition. Also again, well within international norms for national roads. Funding capital, so in the past year, 18-19, we've spent 9.37 billion rand on our non-toll roads and just over 3 billion on the toll roads. Of course, the toll roads are less in terms of kilometers than the non-toll roads, and therefore there will always be this disjunction. On the next slide, here we're just giving you a brief overview of all the where the expenditure was. So we've got an allocation from government of just over 18 billion rand in the past year, 18.6. Of that, 12 billion was spent on non-toll roads. And the reason is only 12 billion was allocated to non-toll roads. 5.75 billion of that 18 billion had to be reallocated to toll roads in order to address the funding shortfall that we have on GFIP. That, of course, as this chair indicates, got a significant impact on the non-toll roads and not something that we would want to continue with in the future. So we also do get an allocation previously for the last couple of years in 2015 of 500 million a year for GFIP specifically, and that was for the implementation of the lower tariffs that was implemented in 2015. Then on the right-hand side of the slide, you will see there are total spending in those three graphs over the 3 years. You'll see there was a significant decline in the last year, which is the right-hand bar of those three bars. The chair indicated earlier some of the issues that we had, one being that some of our projects, about 64 of our projects, were delayed due to stakeholders on the ground actually halting our projects, but also the implementation of the Treasury regulations in terms of the 30% subcontracting and the local content that creates a bit of an issue because of the CRDB regulations and those regulations not talking to each other, and also the interpretation of the people on the ground of those regulations were not aligned. So it took us about 18 months to come up with an agreed pro forma for our documentation with National Treasury. Therefore, you'll see in the last couple of months, obviously after this financial year ended, we were able to ramp up significantly in terms of our tenders that have gone out. So on the right-hand side on the bottom, you'll see that's the three concessionaires. Between them, what they have spent on their roads, and of course this is the benefit to South Africans, that we didn't pay any of that, or that we Sandal didn't have to make any contribution, but these roads are upgraded and maintained at a specific standard, and that is then off balance sheet, as we call it, in terms of our funding, and they carry all the risks in terms of the traffic and the capacity. In the intellectual capital is described in from pages 62 to 69, and here there's just a little bit of a summary. So on these pages we also talk about our geotechnical solutions, innovative road designs, and then we've also listed some of the specific projects. I think one of the innovative things that we're also busy with is the research and training center that we are currently building a laboratory in collaboration with the University of Pretoria and the CSIR, which will give a very good facility to test and do our research and training for road design. And then we also launched in the last year, we launched the Sandal app, which gives road users the opportunity to actually top up their e-toll accounts on that, and that app will in the future also be developed further to become a mobility app, which can be used then for integrated ticketing and the like. So in that year also we launched our first project where we've rolled out parking as part of our e-tag solution. So there you can then use your e-tag or your mobility account to pay for parking at various shopping centers. Now, social and relationship capital, pages 70 to 97. First one there, the value of the work performed by SMMEs is just over 3 billion rand. The percentage contract by black-owned companies was 72%, which is very good. But of course, we want to increase that even further. The percentage of value of work by black-owned companies, 83%. The bottom line there, the work opportunities was 26,000 individuals that had work opportunities in that financial year. And we did training for 1,500 individuals. Also, we did road safety education to just over 209,000 people in that year. And then we spent 221 million rand on community projects. That's outside of our normal bigger projects. On this slide, we just give you some more breakdown in terms of SMMEs. Slide on the left shows you of the total black-owned companies. There was just 72 contracts that was awarded, and it was 72% of our contracts were awarded to black-owned entities, and 82% of the spend, the value of the work, was also to black-owned. And then it also gives you the breakdown for white-owned, which is then 15%, which is only 6% of the value. On the right-hand side, the community development projects, just the increase over the last couple of years, you'll see there's a steady increase into 2018-19 to 200 million. The distribution of job opportunities, you'll see there in terms of age on the left-hand side, and at least this is showing a good distribution in terms of age, but I think the concerning one would always be the fact that the females do not have the same number of opportunities at this stage. We will issue or give you some of our documentation after the meeting, but the chair has already referred to our Horizon 2030. We've also brought a copy of our transformation policy where you'll see where we specifically wanted to address the female versus male contributions or work opportunities. And then we've also included in the documents that we'll give you is our 14-point plan. That is to address the issues at the sites where we've indicated that there is stakeholders that are not happy with the way that the work is issued, and that is our strategy and how we are implementing that in order to address so that our projects are not being halted by stakeholders on the ground. So I think those we will just leave with you. So on the right-hand side then, the trend in work opportunities. Over the 3 years, you'll see there was a decline, and that is mainly as a result of the fact that we were not able to issue tenders over the last 18 months. And then the workers that have received training, there's also very good numbers in terms of our increase. So the courses, the trainees, just over 1,500 in the last year, and then there was 4,000 people attending courses that we provided. The concessionaires, they're building a small business, if you'll see there what they've spent over the last year and the job opportunities that they created. So the next couple of slides just talks to our communications and our relationship management. This one specifically of where we targeted the stakeholders. We've had several targeted stakeholder events. We've had a campaign of taking Sandal to the people. I think in the past years, Sandal was always seen as the Itaal people, and this was a very specific campaign to make our people understand that Sandal is just much more than just GFIP, and that our opportunities are much more than that, and that we are trying to educate our people as well as give people opportunities. And then the next slide, also just in terms of our where we focus our media spend. You may have heard some of our radio advertisements, and that's all based in terms of training people of what Sandal does and what we are about, and also giving us some feedback in terms of our governance principles. The media relations also, the media engagement has been increasing or decreasing actually over the last couple of years. But you'll see on the next slide that on the social media it has increased quite substantially. So the number of media queries has reduced, and the SANRA has increased our media releases. But what has been positive for us is over the past year is the increase in the number of positive media coverages that we've had. And I think we always aim to be either positive or neutral. Social media, there you can see that's quite significant in terms of our increase in this area, and I think that's just the way that this area is working, where we are, mostly people are more focused on social media as opposed to printed media. Natural capital, there's an extensive report in our integrated report as just of how FANRAL endeavours to address or mitigate our impact on the natural environment, and we've got a very strong environmental impact policy to address and ensure that we have very minimal impact there. And the conservation of our natural resources, as you know, we use a lot of water and stone to build roads, so that also has a significant impact, and how we go about to make sure that is limited. Human capital, FANRAL is currently 423 people. Our staff turnover is fairly low, 5.44%. We've issued external bursaries, just over 151 external bursaries, and then we've placed 165 interns on site. Internal bursaries awarded for tertiary studies, just 107, which is quite significant if you think that we only have 423 employees. The workforce profile, it's quite small on the screen, but I believe you do have a printed copy in front of you. On the top left, male versus female, from top management to unskilled. Top management fairly equal, but male versus female, and then to skewed in the unskilled from female to male, the other way around. And there's a bit of work for us still to do under the senior management and the professionals, where that ratio is still not what we desire it to be. The main occupational categories, also then at the bottom left, just the same, but then in our in African, colored, Indian, white, and foreign, just that distribution. Again, here, top management not looking too bad, but still some way to go. That we are working on actively. And then on the right-hand side, again, by occupational category, things split from top management to unskilled, and then by population group at the bottom. The scholarship program, which we are very proud of on the left-hand side, biracial group, I've previously spoken about the scholarships, but there you can see the numbers. 121 African, 172 in 2018-19, so that has been a very good increase from the 203 to 2020. On the right-hand side, by gender, still some way to go there, boys taking 64% of the scholarships that we offer. The corporate performance, we have mentioned some of them earlier, the roughness index and all of that, but these are the specific ones just indicating that we've achieved targets or haven't achieved targets. On the first one, there was two targets missed there, and there on the right-hand side, we've given you the reasons. Similarly, on the government's target program, there was two targets missed, and on governance, the fraud hotline, they didn't close all the reports in time for year-end. And then on the research, innovation and best practice, I've previously spoken about our development there. Again, there we didn't finish by year end with all the work we wanted to do for that year. But since then, that has been rolled out. That brought us to a 77% in terms of targets achieved for the year. And then we turn to the financials, which is in volume 2 of the integrated report. First slide gives you the statement of financial position, which in the old days used to be called a balance sheet. Our non-current assets, that's now all our fixed assets, those are currently valued at 402 billion rand. And then, if I may just highlight some of the other things, our non-current liability is 100 billion rand. Of that 100 billion, 47 billion is what we owe to our investors on the toll side. And this is the statement of profit and loss, again, although we used to call it an income statement. Revenue, there is 16 billion, that includes both the grant that we've received, the portion that goes to OPEX, as well as the toll revenue. And then maybe just to highlight more, the finance cost there, just 4.2 billion rand for the year. The revaluations, they are 23 billion rand. Annually we do a revaluation of all our assets. This is done on a replacement value and the condition index of the roads are applied. Cash flow statement, I won't go through all of that. And then the unqualified opinion, as the chair indicated earlier, it's our 15th unqualified opinion. The AG selects every year key audit matters, which they focus on more, and they then specifically perform additional work on those in order to ensure that it is fairly presented. The three key audit matters that they looked at this year was the revaluation of the roads, which I just spoke about. They found that everything was done according to the standards, and then also the expected credit losses on e-toll, trade and other receivables. They found that the way we presented it was fair and reasonable in terms of the standards, similar to e-toll revenue. IFRS issued a new statement which was applicable to Sandal in 2018-19, which we had to implement, and they found that we applied it consistently and reasonably. Then the chair mentioned the issues that we wanted to, in order to get to a clean audit, these are the two matters that we need to deal with. The first one is the material impairment. So this is an instance of matters. So the AG just draws attention of the user of the financial statements to this one. So the material impairment, which refers to note 9, this is where we had to impair 10 billion rand of our revenue due to the fact that it is currently seen in terms of the IFRS standards that there's not a probability or high probability that we would be able to collect it within a reasonable time. So that's why we had to impair it. So what the AG does here is they draw your attention to the fact that we had to do this. And then the second one was the irregular expenditure, which the chair also referred to. So for this financial year, our irregular expenditure was 419 million. There was two issues that was new for this year. The rest of the 419 million was expenditure from prior year contracts that were deemed irregular. So of the two items specifically, the first one was 79 million, which was an administrative building that Sandral bought. And the AG found that the subcommittee of the board did not have the delegated authority to approve such acquisition. And then the second item there was additional expenditure of 99 million rand, where we applied to National Treasury for approval of the 99 million rand. But the approval only came 9 months after we applied for it. But this was on a site where the road was in construction and we could not leave the construction site open, so we had to continue with traffic accommodation. So all of that expenditure that happened up to the time that the approval got we got the approval and was found to be irregular reporting doesn't get pre-approval. So those two items are in 1 year and would not be recurring in the following year. So that would be assisting us in reducing that number. This is then just to show how we've been able to reduce our irregular expenditure over time. You'll see there in 2012 we had just over 2 billion rand of irregular expenditure, and then we brought it down all the way to 300 last year and then to 400 this year because of those two contracts. In the second line there, you'll see what was in the specific year and what was in the prior year, or as a result of prior year irregular. That is it. Thank you,
Chief. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation on behalf of the team. I would now invite all the members to engage with the reports. I've got it there on the W, and our Lord, and our workshop, and Matilda, and our Hyde. In that order.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm glad that an announcement is going to be made shortly to resolve the e-toll problem. I think in part of the outreach that Sandra will have to do after the announcement is made is actually to engage with those communities, particularly starting from Orange Farm through to Midland, to engage them, because that is the impact of it all really. Secondly, I'd like to know what off-balance sheet means, because off-balance sheet could mean something else sometimes. It becomes on-balance sheet sometimes and becomes a liability. So what does our off-balance sheet in this instance mean? I think that would be very, very important. I think also into the future, learning from the e-toll experience in Gauteng, that before such a thing is undertaken, that adequate consultation needs to be undertaken between all three spheres of the state, so that people actually buy into the situation, where there's a road already and you're just repairing the road, explain that to people so they can understand that. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Lunch.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies, it's when you make your notes on your phone and people start phoning you, then you just put this in flight mode. I'm going to start where Honorable Angu ended. I do apologize for that. Okay.
I understand that, and my colleague phrased it in a much nicer way, but I mean this mess that is e-tolls should be put at somebody's feet, and I do think that it should be put in front of your door. And there's all kinds of reasons why it's other people's fault now, but at the end of the day, this thing was done properly from the beginning. We shouldn't sit with this problem. The one thing I want to find out is the contract with CAPS that will end 2019, this year. Did you renew it? So yes or no, and then why? Because that's a lot of money that go out of this country every single year, and we're going all over the world to try and get investments into the country, but that's money that goes out. Then also, you mentioned money being moved to the toll roads, but I mean, If you look at the non-toll roads that's affected, it's about 18,000 kilometers, and you're moving a lot of money to less than 200 kilometers worth of that toll road. That doesn't make much sense. We have, I understand that there's about the volume of traffic that moves
on certain roads, but you also need to ensure if we're going to sell it, we need to uplift the rural areas, we need to ensure that we invest, that they also have quality roads. The one thing that I am concerned about when I actually heard your advertisements on the radio, you shouldn't have paid advertising to send out a good picture. You should have quality roads and people will say you do a good job. And then you can get unpaid media coverage. If you have a proper media department or one or two people that do your media marketing, you don't need to pay it. There's other things that you can alert people to, roads that are worked on or the public safety announcements. But I mean, paying to get good coverage should not be something that you do, in my opinion. You should just make sure that the roads are at a high standard and then sell that good story. The last thing that is more specific that I want to raise, there's several land in Colesberg that when that winds blow in the Free State, that entire highway is closed. You cannot see. The visibility is zero. There's a dust bank that's there, and it's been raised with SANRAL on numerous occasions, and there's now people from that area that contact me and say, listen, what's going on? That is putting people's lives at risk, and it is property of SANRAL that's not being maintained. Now, you need to then look at something to either put gravel there so that you don't get that dust storm coming over. There's different options. But I know my colleague in the ENA has raised this, Honorable Unsinger, and I'm also putting it now. If there's ever going to be loss of life because of that, it's going to be on SANRAL and on nobody else. So please fix that, and if you don't have the information, I'll give it to you, but it's been locked with you on numerous occasions. And if there's one life that's lost, it's going to be on you, nobody else.
Thank you, Chair. I see in the report that you have provided bursaries for staff and students. Could you tell us, of these students and staff members, what type of bursaries were given? What was it used for? Have they plowed back into your company? Were there dropouts? And if there were dropouts, what was the cost to the company? I'd like to know if the R511, the Brits Biesterkral Road, whether you are on track with that, because it should be completed by July, I think, 2020. Just want to know where you stand with regard to that. And the Molotto Road, what is the outcome now that it has been attended to? Has the carnage on the roads dropped or not? Because it is one of the roads that is very infamous for accidents. And then I read that Basil Reed is under business rescue. What does that mean? And for the company, for the completion of the Polokwane Messina Road. I'm very worried about the target of 1,200 kilometers of road network to be completed, but currently only 490 kilometers has been done, and this is definitely not a good indicator at all. Again, you cited the delay is due to the contractual implementation. What happens to these contractors? Are they imposed a fine? And if yes, what is the type of fine or penalty for that reason? Then I know the R37, that's the road between a town called Lydenburg in Mpumalanga and Nelspruit. It is used excessively by heavy vehicles to transport the platinum and chrome to Maputo. They eventually drive onto the N4 to get to Maputo. Has SANRAL been contacted by any provincial government or local municipality to have a look at this road? Because I'm telling you, I have to drive it twice a week, And where you used to spend an hour on the road, you now spend 2 hours, because there are up to 600, 1,000 of these heavy vehicles on that road on a daily basis, up and down, transporting. I'd just like to know if any contact has been made with you. All right, and then on the N3, you reported imposing fines to the value of 5.1 billion, but you only collected 1.9 billion. Could you give us some expatiation on that? And then the irregular expenditure has increased from last year. I saw that, and it's because of the non-compliance with procurement prescripts. We cannot have this year after year, because it was one of the things that was picked up by the AG as well. And I need to see what plans are in place from Sunrail side to address this issue. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure might at this point seem minimal, but it definitely is not. And it occurred because of the non-payment of invoices within the prescribed time. We are, gentlemen, ladies, we are not running a creche. We are running a business, and we cannot pay outside the time given. So please could we, this committee, be provided with a plan on how you're going to address this, because are there disciplinary actions being taken to staff members that do not attend to this issue? And then I also read somewhere that senior management are slow in reporting and addressing previously reported deficiencies in respect of oversight. And this is also an annual transgression that was picked up by the AG. What has been done to these senior management employees? Because if they get away with it year after year, it's going to be an occurrence every single year. So can we please also have a plan provided to this committee on that? And then I'd just like to congratulate you on your unqualified audit. But as I said with the other two questions, we need to see a plan of action. And you the CEO or the chairperson, you said that you were going to address it. So please provide us with a plan on how you are going to address it, so that we can also follow the steps for the next year's presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think Honorable Boshoff has already mentioned the road from Polokwane to Messina. I wanted to know the progress. When are you finishing it? And then the other one is the acting CEO. I'd like to know how long you have been acting into the position, and when are they going to employ you permanently? I had the chairperson saying that they are celebrating the achievements of Sunrail. As a woman of this country sitting here, I'm not happy, and I'm not going to say I'm celebrating Sunrail on the issue of gender equality. As you can see here in slide number 12, you can see I can start here, even in the presentation here in this committee room. As I look around, I only see one woman or two men who are present here to represent us women. So it seems as if the salary is still a challenge, the issue of gender equality. Here in slide number 12, you can see here in the composition of workers' employment on 2018 and 2019. You can see that the men are the one who are dominating at Sunrail. And then on page 18, on the benefit of SMMEs, I'd like to know how many companies that are owned by women who have been benefited here. And then on the creating of jobs, 583, I'd like to know how many women have you employed, women with youth? Yeah? How many youth have you employed? And if I look at the statistics of your employment, I haven't seen anything where you talk about disabled people. The employment of disabled people is not here. So if you can also try to explain to me what is happening in Sanaa. And then on page 14, you have mentioned that you are taking Sanaa to the people. I'd like to know in Limpopo, where have you taken this Sanaa to the people? And then have you considered to visit a rural municipalities? And then the other one is on page 21. On the scholarship by gender. I can even see here, it's still a problem. Boys are dominating here in the scholarship. Yeah, I think that would be my last question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tuna. Honourable Fett.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Chair Osamra and the Acting CEO for the presentation. Firstly, I will just because we are provinces, we are interested also in what is happening in the provinces that we represent. Firstly, let me also commend actually you for the achievement you've registered as a standard, because we can see, as we drive the progress with regard to construction of roads and bridges, that is commendable. We would like also a situation where the record on problems, if we could highlight not just the length of kilometers, but if you could say in the Eastern Cape, for example, this is our footprint in a particular area. Not just because it would be confusing just to say 4,952 kilometers. We don't even know where those kilometers are. So if you can just improve on that when you report to us again, to highlight where these are. And the next question, sir, would be the criteria that you use with regard to the regional roads. And you find that in some situations, you're reporting on the regional roads that you are involved in, other than just the national roads. What I would like to find out, what criteria is, because I know in my province there will be roads, for instance, R72. I can see construction taking place there. But then you'll see R63, there's nothing that is happening. R61, you reported about it in the slides. Even with that, you find that it is a particular stretch of kilometers, not the whole R61, for example. So I would like to know what criteria you're using, why not the whole stretch of the road. Because there are these complaints, sometimes communities will be divided along those issues. For example, on R63 in the Eastern Cape, you would have this road that starts from King Williamstown, for example, right up to Arlis. But when you drive from Arlis to, say, Fort Beaufort, there's absolutely nothing. So, and these are communities that are in one municipality. In fact, it's a municipality that has been now merged. There were two municipalities. Now, communities now are fighting over this because they think that one area in the municipality is advantaged than the other one. So that's why we're saying, why you're not completing the whole stretch of the original road. The former president Zuma, in one of the State of the Nation address, he indicated the construction of what is called the Mpumalanga Moloto Corridor. If you can update us as to what is happening with regard to that corridor, because it was reported in one of the committee meetings that I attended, appropriation committee, that there is no progress with regard to that particular corridor. Chair, if you can give some more time. I just want to check if there are any toll roads that are planned. We would hear rumors that between the border between KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape, the N2, there's a possibility that there's going to be a toll road there. If you can either confirm or deny that to it. And also whether, if there will be, whether there has been any consultation with the community to avoid the situation of the Gauteng Free Road or the so-called e-tolls in Gauteng. But also, just on the issue of the income from toll roads, do you separate the amount that you receive from the normal toll roads and the amount that you receive from the e-toll? But also in terms of your targets, with regards, for example, to e-tolls, are you earning what you're targeting as an income? But also, what are you doing about those who are not paid for the e-toll? But also with regard to the toll roads, how are the provinces that have toll roads benefiting? Is the money, if there's a toll road, for example, in the Western Cape, say in Tsitsikamma, between Eastern Cape and the Western Cape, how is that money divided between the two provinces? Or is it just go to the central fund that will then be distributed for all the roads in South Africa? Or does it benefit that particular group? For example, there was a complaint by Free State because it is in the center. So all the roads that lead to other provinces will go through Free State. How is the Free State then benefiting from the toll that are in the roads that pass through Free State, for example? The issue of irregularity, I think I'll repeat what Honorable Boshoff was indicating with regard to consequence management, because they have 419 million. It's quite a big amount, especially when they are prescribed with regard to procurement processes and someone decides not to adhere to those prescripts. So what consequences in terms of management that have been applied? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable High, for the questions put to the team. Just two from my side. The Chair in his opening remarks made reference to a certain conduct on the part of the SME, local SMEs in areas where projects that are worth more than 30 million are being implemented. Because we are from provinces, and obviously, given also the nature of the composition of the council, National Council of Provinces,
I think it will be important for us to get a sense in terms of the specificity, the areas where, as members of the National Council of Provinces, could probably come on board as part of mediating around those areas of concern, because obviously we will have an opportunity to also interact with the provincial departments, the local municipalities, so that we are informed in terms of where are those bottlenecks, so that we are also able to also interface with the municipalities to sort of mitigate the challenge. The second one relates to R61 road between Ngqawo and Mthatha in Eastern Cape. Is the project not moving because of the same challenge or what? Or you could get an update on that. I'm also more interested in terms of the slide that speaks to community project, community development project. Just after the slide that is with social and relationship capital, what does that involve? Raising response just to clarity in terms of the type of project that that will fall under community development project. And also just to change the student committee in confidence in terms of we're not saying that you must make announcement because that is beyond your scope. I suspect that will be made by the political principals, but I think just to reassure us as to whether what was presented to the media, that the Premier, the Minister, the Minister of Finance and of Transport assist with the matter. I think it is important because that is an area that will be of interest to all of us. I feel the fact that there is an expectation from you also to play a critical role in terms of the stimulus package. Can you just share with us in terms of the commitment by the president in terms of stimulus package? I know that the minister would want to contribute to that. You can just share with us what is a specific area or role that you are playing in terms of the stimulus package. Mindful of the fact that I think in one of your slides is an amount of 5.8 billion that was transferred to the toll portfolio to have offset shortfall. What is the impact of this on that program? Also mindful of the fact that I think from Prada also there is an amount that you received to the toll portfolio. Thank you, Chairperson. Let's give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. I should indicate that Mrs. Mulder is acting of the hotel for today. In the absence of our CEO, who is
at least you have a supporter here.
So I don't know when we are going to appoint her. Please, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, she and Tavi Soye, who is our strategy head, are going to be dealing with the operational issues raised by the Honorable Members, and I will deal with the easier ones that talk more to governance and policy and so on. This Honorable Chair, thank you.
Chair, I'll try and go through it as they were asked.
So first, in terms of the Orange Farm, you've mentioned the GFIP and the outreach. That is certainly part of the communications plan that is rolled out by government communications for GFIP. And it's not just for that. We also do the same. I think when you look at our 14-point plan that we've put forward, that is a specific outreach for every project in order to make sure that they are ready before we get there. Off-balance sheet in this instance, which is the PPPs, the three concessions that we have, the reason we say they are off-balance sheet, or the portion that is off-balance sheet, is the risk of collection of toll. It's also all the funding that is required for those roads. So the that is carried by the concessionaire. What is on-balance sheet is the asset. The asset remains the property of Sanral, so the capital spending that the concessionaire may do on the asset and the increase in the condition or the that comes back to Sanral on the balance sheet every year. Then if I can move to the next question, the GFIP, you've mentioned the ETC contract that has not been renewed. The contract ends on Monday. There was a tender out. The tender was publicly announced. The opening of the financial bids was also publicly announced. So there will be an award made on Monday. And I think you also mentioned money leaving the country. I think maybe just to clarify, ETC is registered in South Africa. They do have shareholders, which is Kapsch. ETC, the company which is registered in South Africa, declare their dividends in South Africa, they pay tax in South Africa. The portion that they get paid for from Sanral is not related to the revenue that we collect on toll. It is for the work that they do. It is based on a bill of materials. So for every, in terms of a bill of materials, for the work that they do, they are a service provider, we pay them for whatever they do. If they don't do it, then they don't get paid. So it works on a bill of materials. You've mentioned the transfer of funds from to toll, and I think that's why I mentioned earlier, this is a direct result of not collecting revenue on e-toll. So at that point, towards the end of last year, Sanral had a shortfall because we could not collect toll, and we had to pay our investors. So what government then decided was to transfer the funds from our non-toll because there was no other 5.75 billion in any other department that they could find us. So the impact, like you expressed, is exactly that. The fact is that you now are using funds to pay for interest, and you're not building roads. So, and as you understand, our asset management system, higher priority projects takes the first cut. So which means of what is remaining, that funds go to high priority projects, which means roads with lower traffic get either the least money or projects, or their projects get postponed. So that is the impact of the fact that we are not able to collect the revenue on GFIP. I think what you indicated in terms of the quality of our roads speaks for itself. I think our quality of our roads are known to most people, but some people do not understand the difference between what Sanral does across the country. Some people still believe we are only responsible for toll, and that we are still we don't. They do not understand the national road impact on that. That 201 kilometers in Gauteng is not all we do. And that's the reason we also have transferred or spent more time now on social media, which is a much cheaper platform of doing our media relations. And that's why I showed you that increase in the numbers of people following us. The issue in Colesberg, I will definitely speak to you and find out exactly. So I will make sure that we follow up and give you direct feedback in terms of that issue. The type of bursaries, most of our bursaries are for technical studies, mostly civil engineering, but we also do have other electronic engineers and then also related things like environmental. But we'll give you a breakdown exactly and submit that to the committee, as well as the dropout numbers. And then the R511 from Bert to Bestegrill, I might be incorrect, but that is not a federal or national road, but I will confirm that as well. The Minotto Road, you've indicated that it is being completed, but it hasn't. So what has happened so far is SANRO is responsible for the Mpumalanga and the Limpopo sections only. So what we have concluded on those two sections is only the routine road maintenance. The bigger capital project must still happen. You may have seen that there was public participation processes happening across in order to get to the point where we now roll out the CAPEX. So it's been in design, and the CAPEX projects will come shortly. But so far, only the Limpopo and Mpumalanga sections, which is under SANRO's control, could we be able to implement. So the biggest section, which is in Gauteng, is still under the provincial roads. Yeah, so we only got it now.
Yeah.
Last week, I think. Was declared national, so now only can we start with that road, which is by far the biggest part of it. Then the Basel Reed, yes, they were in business rescue. SANRO had three projects with them. Two of those projects have already been awarded to two other companies. Polokwane is one of them. You'll see that the work is now continuing and that that will conclude. I'm not sure the exact date of when it's concluding, but you will see that there is work going ahead in order to conclude on that project. The third one, which is in the Eastern Cape, will have to be retendered. Yes, so all our projects, we use FIDIC conditions of contract. So that determines the penalties for work that is delayed. All our projects are based on a specific timeline and a due date. So if they delay by every day that they delay, there's a penalty that is charged in terms of the FIDIC conditions of tender. I wasn't sure that you were specifically referring to the projects that were delayed because of issues on the ground. Just general, okay. And then the R37 Lydenburg-Nelspruit was also still not been transferred to San Jose Provincial Road. We have been approached, and I wanted to relate that to the same question that there was on the R72, R61, and R63. The way it works is SANRO obviously can only spend the government grant on declared national roads. So even though it's got an R, sometimes it's still a declared national road, like a section of the R61. So the moment that there is declared a national road is only time we can start spending. So if they were to ask us, we can only say that once it's transferred to SANRO that we can do it. Now SANRO doesn't transfer roads to it by itself. Provincial authorities must request it. But also at that stage, it is then considered by the department to determine whether it is a strategic or a primary road network, so that we don't carry all the roads in South Africa, only the primary and strategic road. So currently we do have 22,000 kilometers, and the mandate currently only shows that we can go up to 25,000, and the way that 3,000 kilometers will be made up will be decided at the MINMEC about that 3,000 kilometers where, you know, which roads exactly would be transferred to SANRO. So the moment it is transferred, we can do something. What we've done in the past is we do assist provinces where they ask us, but then it would be with their own funds that we can assist them. In the past, we've done it a lot, especially in the Eastern Cape. The problem there is then they don't build up that capacity in the province. So we prefer rather to assist them to build the capacity in the province as opposed to, you know, just continuing doing the work on their behalf. Then you mentioned something about N3 and fines. I need to check with you just to understand exactly what that was about.
Can I give it to the chair? There are two traffic control centres on the N3, and it reported imposing fines to the value of 5.1, but only 1.9 was collected.
So obviously traffic fines doesn't come to SANRO, it will go to the RTI. Road traffic infringement of an association doesn't come to SANRO. The irregular expenditure, I've highlighted the fact that that 420 million, there was two specific issues which was which relates to that. One is the building and one is the delayed approval from National Treasury. On the building, the chair will also mention that what we were supposed to then do is update our charters of our various subcommittees in order to strengthen it. That will address that issue. Apart from that, our normal procurement processes, and I think maybe you would have seen lots of media issues where most of the entities complain about the frequency of changing regulations and so on. And Sandals found in the past couple of years that the issues where we trip up is the administrative ones, like, for instance, you have to publish an award within 10 days. Which means that if you publish it on the 12th day, then the whole project becomes irregular. Now, in order to address these kind of small things where we trip up, we have expanded our capacity in terms of SEM. We've brought in a lot of experts in terms of SEM to assist us with that. There's a whole project plan that we've rolled out in the last 18 months in order to assist us with the SEM rollout. We also currently busy with an operating model review to expand exactly where to fit this and where the structure of Sandal has gone wrong, where it should be for the period going forward. With our Horizon 2030, where we've got a different strategic objective in order to make sure that we are now strategically focused on how our structure should look like. And I think part of that also, the consequence management has always been regular. So every time that there's either irregular expenditure or fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we do a full consequence management process. And in terms of the regulations published by Treasury, we then have to submit that to the authority that it pertains to. So most of ours would be with National Treasury. So the loss control committee would then make a recommendation to National Treasury in terms of whether they should conduct it, whether the loss must be recovered. So on all of those items, that's the process that we do follow. And then the slow response by management. So if you look at the AG's, the full report from the AG, what they do is they say if you've had a recurring finding, for instance, Sandal has about 55,000 assets, movable assets, this is not chairs and things like that. So if 1 year we had a finding where, say, for instance, not all the chairs were marked with stickers, and next year there's the same issue. So maybe they bought new chairs and the stickers were not on yet, or they moved the chair from one location to another, and that finding is then recurring. Then they would say that thing is a slow response by management to address that finding. So what we've done is, same year, because most of the slow response has been about asset management, we have broadened our asset management competency, and we've also put in a new system in order to assess us with the assets. And we've also got a strategic change at the toll plazas. The toll plazas are operated by service providers, but the assets inside the buildings are Sandal's assets, and that includes tables and chairs and computers and things like that. Now, it's very difficult to control assets that are not under your control, direct control. So we've changed the contract model for the new tender so that those assets don't belong to Sandal. So the service provider is bringing his own tables and chairs and things like that, so that we don't have that kind of recurring things. So in terms of the slow response of management, there's a lot of things that we are doing, we've got a very detailed audit response plan which addresses each of these issues in order to make sure that that specific comment by the AG is addressed. Then I think it's apart from not being appointed as this year, the gender equality, I think I made a comment that yes, especially where you saw the scholarship numbers looking so bad, where the boys got all of them, well, 60 whatever percent of it, that is a focus, very specific focus for Sandal. Of course, the boys that we do have, or the boys and girls that we do have, are now going to. So every year we issue about another 50 bursaries. So it just depends on the how much we then get in order to change that numbers over time. But there is good progress in terms of the new recruits that we've brought in. If you look at our appointments, also the same. We use that appointment every year to make sure that the structure is corrected, so the female-male contribution is getting to where it is. You look at the senior management, we've already made huge strides in order to get that ratio correct. So I wanted to, there's another question. So we haven't showed any of that. It's only been in the last, I think the last year, we've got a very large system. We've got just over 1,000 projects at any given time. So we've got a system that was developed so that we can capture all the data. So in order to do that, we have made the changes in order to split the youth and disabled and women in order to be able to report on it. But we've only captured that type of data now in the last, I think it's about 10 months. So what we have, we can submit to you so that you can see that change, that, not the change, the division in terms of youth, disabled, and women in terms of our project. Taking Sanral to the people, we did have very specific rural outreach programs there, and I will send you a list of the specific ones we've had in the last year in that area. Then I quickly wanted to show the roads by province. There's a graph in here that shows the location. So that's actually where the national roads are. So if you wanted to look at where it is in the Eastern Cape, just use that map and you can see the exact roads that are national roads in your province. They are also there. And I've explained that issue about the rural, the regional road. So once it's declared a national road, then we can spend money on it. Otherwise, we are not allowed to. And then also, I've given progress on the toll roads planned. There's no new toll roads that have been planned because of the funding issues that we've had. What you may refer to is the N2 Wild Coast. So the N2 Wild Coast is currently being built. The initial construction works is being built with fiscal money. So the intention is for only the operations and maintenance of that road to be funded from toll revenue. So only after the construction is concluded, the initial construction works, will it be declared toll. Now, in terms of the regulation, there's a whole process you need to follow. Now, that incentive toll must still go out, and all of those processes, all the public participation, all of that must still happen even long before we can get to a point where the minister can declare it a toll. You've asked about whether we separate toll revenue and the e-toll revenue. So the toll revenue is in a single portfolio, but it is... it is not allowed to cross-subsidize non-toll. But it isn't a single portfolio because we use a single portfolio to source funding. So where we borrow money from investors, we borrow it on the basis of the portfolio because Sanral's balance sheet is then, it's more strong if you have all those roads in a single portfolio than borrowing for each road on project financing. So we are able to borrow much cheaper by doing it that way. So the e-toll revenue with all the other toll revenue except for the concessions is all going into the single pot in order to fund the loans and the servicing of the loans over time. It also funds the operations and the continuous maintenance and the capex of the roads. And then, because there was a question also about how do we divide revenue to provinces. So toll revenue is applied because Sanral has a zero profit margin. So we actually apply all the revenue that we get to pay for the initial capital works, the money that we've borrowed, to service the debt, to pay for the continued operations and the maintenance of the road over a period of 30 years. So that toll revenue, the tariff that is charged, is in order to pay for it for 30 years. There's no profit or there's nothing that can be shared or other than what is being paid for. You'll see where you looked at our income statement, you'll see our finance charges is 4.2 billion rand. whereas our toll revenue is almost the same, which means you must still fund or borrow money to pay for operations and maintenance. Now, we call it the J-curve effect. So initially, you borrow money and you capitalize interest over a period of time until it then turns and starts to be able to pay for its operations and maintenance with the toll revenue until it reaches zero. Now, that period for toll road, for most big infrastructure, is between 25 and 30 years that it takes to get to that point. Back to that. I think we take the comment about the mediation on projects where we have concerns. Again, I would like to refer you to our 14-point plan of exactly how we do that in terms of our project liaison committee. I think the chair may want to comment on the R61, the challenge we have on the Wild Coast with the bridges. Community development projects. So most of our projects have a community portion of it, but the big projects always have something small. So if we are working in an area, say for instance in the Wild Coast, then we do community development projects in the areas that we are working on. So if there's a big project, then we always link a community development project there. So this may be walkways, or it could be a pedestrian bridge, or it could be anything that is close or that needs attention. So these projects are identified with the community, so they would say what is within, what is something that they may require, and that could be within SANRAL's mandate to do. The economic stimulus package, the biggest part of that, SANRAL got allocated 3.5 billion rand from the economic stimulus package. The biggest part of that is going to be on the N2 and the N3 in KZN to do that extension capacity increases on the N3 and the N2 between Maryhill and Durban. The GFIP announcement, the SANRAL's involvement in that is that we are part of the task team, which is chaired by the DG of Transport, and the task team then consists of SANRAL, the Department of Transport, National Treasury, the province of Gauteng, and the presidency. So the task team concluded their work, and they have given the work to the, and the DG presented that to the Minister of Transport. The Minister of Transport then to cabinet, and the cabinet had to make the decision. That decision is still pending, so that's where we currently are. I think that's all the questions I have.
Now payment of
tolls. Okay, so currently we're collecting between 25 and 30% of what we're supposed to be collecting on e-tolls.
Chairperson, I wonder, as a point of order, if we can't wait for the announcement of the cabinet before they answer that question, because the one may interpret from the other.
Sure.
But just in the feeling for that, we are one country. We're not a different provinces in the federal system. And if the generator of the income and taxes in one particular area, to punish that particular area and move money elsewhere, we could kill the goose that lays the golden egg.
Help you to the chair of the court. But we are mindful of what you said as well, that this is not the federal country.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. From where we are sitting, from a governance point of view as the board, what we are hearing from this committee is that we should very consciously analyze the mistakes that were made in relation to the e-tolls matter, and to make sure that moving forward we do not make the same mistakes as an organization. And indeed, we do accept some responsibility for the debacle we find ourselves in, from particularly a consultation point of view, because it really would appear that we did not do adequate consultation, and that's part of the reason why we are faced with this challenge today. And indeed, if you check all our projects that are currently on the go, we've made consultation central to our practice moving forward. And indeed, if you check our transformation policy, Horizon 2030, but particularly the 14-point plan, we have really, really emphasized the fact that even before projects start, we must have gone to the communities, briefed them about the plans and the implications for them, and ensure their buy-in so that we can minimize problems such as the ones we have had with ETOLs. And so we really, really want to emphasize that we are noting that point from the committee. And indeed, the question posed by the chairperson about the impact of moving monies from the non-toll portfolio to the toll portfolio, I think the question is also a statement, which is a fact that if you do that, you are practically disadvantaging the non-toll portfolio, because it means some of the roads that would have been financed with that money are actually delayed because the money is now funding our e-toll debt. So it's not even money that leads to improvements on this road. All it's doing is that it's really funding the debt. So these are key lessons that we are taking with us. The question of gender, a matter of women, is a sore point with us as SANRAL, both at management and board level. One of our challenges is that, you know, as a country, we still have that old mentality that certain jobs are for men and some are for women. And therefore, construction, you find that we subconsciously, whenever we advertise anything, we tend to think, oh, the men are the suitable people for that. And indeed, it is an important notion that we should disabuse ourselves of and ensure that there is that parity. One of the things we recently decided on in our transformation workshop is that we must ring fence some of our projects, some of our jobs, and so on, for women, where we say this one is strictly for women. That is one of the decisions, honorable member, that we have recently taken. And we've extended that to young people too, because the future of SANRAL lies in young people. As you know, SANRAL dates back to a period before 1994, when it was still a department, a branch in the Department of Transport. And so, if you check, for example, the composition of our staff, we've got quite a significant number of people who, well, I can say this because I'm also old myself, who are old. And indeed, we believe that we must make a conscious effort to bring in young people. And we did also in our transformation workshop talk about people with disabilities, and that the minimum that government has, which is 4%, must be exceeded by us. wherever we can bring in people with disability. So we've identified this last week, and indeed we want to indicate our commitment there too. The issue of non-collection, you know, on ETOLs, I think one wants to emphasize that the political uncertainty has not helped us that much over a period of time. Where, for example, on the one hand, we would as Sanral be saying, people must pay. And then on the other hand, you hear very important political formations saying, we're not happy with this ETOLS thing and so on. Over and above outer. So the messages that have been going out to the South African public have really been causing a lot of confusion. And indeed, that is why we are very happy that the president took this upon himself. Because the task team that's in place is the president's task team, not even a department's task team. And indeed, Minister Balula has really driven this very aggressively together with the Premier of Gauteng and our Minister of Finance. We have participated strongly, we've given various models and so on. I think we ended up with about 7 options that were presented to by that task team to the political principals. And indeed, we do believe that at first they narrowed those to about 2, and we are at a point where that may have been narrowed further to 1. And as we said, the announcement is imminent, and the leadership demonstrated by government in that regard has really, really been unbelievable, and we want to express our gratitude there too. Consequence management, I think the acting CEO has really dealt with that from their point of view as management, what they really have been doing, which we can attest to. We want to also highlight a decision that our CEO and his executive management took, namely that from bonuses themselves that are due to people, we must deduct a certain portion because of some of the audit findings, particularly repeat ones. Where there's been a repeat audit finding, people have been hit right in their pockets, and that has been led by our management itself. And indeed, we have a workshop coming to deal specifically with audit findings. And we've already asked management to give us a plan as the board as to how they are going to deal with the audit findings. And we will share it with the committee, given that the honorable members have asked us about it. But we must also indicate that some of the critical matters that have been raised, such as the irregular expenditure pertaining to the building that we procured and that was approved at the level of a committee rather than the whole board, and that the AG is concerned about. We've started an investigation in relation to that, and we have received a preliminary report, and we are all working together between management and ourselves to deal with that particular report. So these are some of the interventions that are taking place to address questions of irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And indeed, as I said, even as we are deliberating on this as the board and getting a plan from management, management itself has been taking action at the level of our staff, and we are quite satisfied with that. Munoto Road, I think we need to indicate that 2 weeks ago, we had a key event with the minister when Gauteng province finally handed over, I think their section is about 48 kilometers, handed that over to Sanral. Because one of the reasons why that road has been so dangerous is that you've got dual carriageways on some parts. So you've got 2 lanes going one direction and 2 lanes another direction. And then all of a sudden, you get into a two-way traffic situation. That has been a major, major problem with that road. Now, what we have done in Sanlam has been to buy land adjacent to that road so that we can expand all of it into dual carriageway with barriers in between. And then now that we've got the housing section, because that section has also been largely two-way traffic, we are now in a position to expand it. Premier Makura and MEC Mamabolo have really been very instrumental in working together with our minister to transfer that housing part to us. And indeed, we are now going to resolve major, major challenges pertaining to that particular road. With regards to specific projects, Honorable Chair, that you asked about, where we've got challenges in terms of communities, you know, working with us, the N2 Wild Coast is the major one. You know, that N2 route, we are talking of an investment of about 9 billion rand, that whole N2 stretch. And indeed, just one project there, the Mtendu Bridge alone, that came to a standstill because of this disruption. You are talking 1.6 billion rand in terms of that project. And how much are we losing per day during this whole standstill? We are losing about 50 million rand. I think our official said it's 52 million rand odd per day while all of that is standing still. That is why we even tried National Treasure when the German company with its South African partner decided to leave. We asked National Treasure, can we take what was number two? Because we're trying to save money, but National Treasure said, no, we must go on tender. Now you are talking a good 6 to 18 months. Now you can imagine losing 52 million rand a day in that kind of situation. So indeed, Honorable Chair, that is the major one. The N3 is also a serious issue. Somewhere between Harry Smith and Pietermaritzburg, we've got some challenges there. But what we will do is, we will compile a list of these 68 or so projects that are at a standstill around the country and share them with the committee, indeed, so that the members, honorable members, could probably help us zero in on those projects in their provinces in us trying to resolve this. But our 14-point plan is very pivotal, and it's a plan that comes out of lessons from this, where we are now saying, indeed, we must involve the local municipalities, local businesses, traditional authorities, young people, you know, all sectors of our society right at the beginning so that we try and obviate some of these challenges. Our community development projects, Honorable Chair, you know, beyond just what they mean, for us, these are projects that are intended to prepare ordinary people, particularly your CIDB 1, 2, 3 graded companies, so that as we build those access roads, for example, roads from those villages, townships, and so on, that get onto the main road we are building, as well as some of the community facilities like your halls and so on. As we build those companies need to then get the necessary experience so that their grades go higher and they can be ready to be subcontracted on the main road when we get to the actual building of the road. So they have that major transformational and economic empowerment element built into them. The R61, our biggest challenge, and this relates also to this Mtendu Bridge matter and so on.
One of the central issues, if we were able to have a magic bullet to deal with them, I think it would help us, is the issue of quarries. What you find is that when we build roads or bridges in these areas, you then have people and businesses that own quarries in the vicinity or not too far from there. Now, everyone wants their quarry to be the one used. And sometimes you find that the aggregate from a particular quarry is not necessarily suitable for the type of road being built or the type of bridge being built. And that has given us endless challenges. And we are trying to evolve some strategy to deal with that, but I must say, it is the single biggest challenge when it comes to particularly the N2 Wild Coast route. It told us, indicated, we are very satisfied with how government has handled this. We think as Sanlam we are on the verge of getting this albatross off our backs, because it really is impacting on the whole country, because monies we could be using elsewhere have got to be used to pay debts, as I said, that do not necessarily come back to us. And in conclusion, Honorable Chair, I do want to say that the stimulus package is for us a vote of confidence that government has made on SANRAL, because if there's one entity that can use monies for projects that have been identified, it is SANRAL. And indeed, our commitment to this committee is that we shall take all the concerns that have been expressed in terms of irregular expenditure, in terms of monies that are spent, moved from one portfolio to another, in terms of gender issues, matters to do with young people and so on, and make sure that as we spend monies entrusted to us, we are also mindful of these concerns that have been expressed, and we try and mitigate and minimize them. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the rounding up of the responses to questions posed by Honorable Members. I want to take this opportunity to on behalf of the Executive Committee, express our appreciation for honoring our invitation, and for also putting us in a much more better position to appreciate the work that SANRAL is doing in terms of its mandate, particularly for bringing to the fore the work that you have been, the successes that you have made, and also challenges encountered, and invitation to us also to areas where we need to intervene. And again, I believe that as the committee, we are much more better positioned now to appreciate the complexities that you are going through, and particularly around your two primary sources of income, the non-toll roads and also the toll roads. I think it put us in a much more better position to understand what you are going through. I think the commitment to also ensure that in terms of the stimulus package, we're able to, through your programs and through your project management, to ensure that indeed there is job creation. And with those few words, on behalf of the honorable members,
special friendship certificate and also then
formalities
will be closed. The meeting is now adjourned.